starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Castor-Casbon, and today we have an amazing guest, Dr. Jennifer Moore, a renowned speech-language pathologist and the proud co-owner of a thriving multidisciplinary private practice in northern New Jersey. Y'all, Jen is a breath of fresh air. She started her private practice small and on the side of her regular job. She had just become prompt certified and people wanted to see her privately, and so she thought, why not? This also came during a time when she had just had her first child and needed more flexibility. So she started her private practice. She started small, like we all do. First, she started out driving to clients, and then she decided to sublet a small one-room space. Then she realized how many kids needed help in her area, so she kept expanding, and she now co-owns Brave Wings Therapy with Naomi Sutton. During the interview, she talks about the baby steps that she took along the way to grow from solo to having 55 employees and 2 locations. She also talks about how having a specialty helped her practice grow, and now she has employees that specialize in different clinical areas. She also shares about her hiring process and how she cultivates both happy employees and happy clients. And she shares one of the biggest secrets to getting more referrals. And hint, you can do this too. This episode is truly a delight. And whether you're at the very beginning of your private practice journey or you have an existing private practice and you're looking for hints for how to grow it, this episode has major gems and is worth listening to. So stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. So before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Great. My name is Jennifer Moore. I'm a speech-language pathologist, and I am a co-owner of Brave Wings Therapy. We're a multidisciplinary practice in northern New Jersey.
Jen, you and I have actually kind of known each other for quite a while, which I'll let you go into that story as we get into the interview. But before we talk about how you started your private practice, can you take us back to kind of the beginning of your career and share, when did you start thinking about private practice?
Yeah, I have like a non-traditional trajectory, I feel like. Like, I'm going to tell you this story and I'm just prefacing that it's like going to sound a little chaotic. You know, there's no straight line when you're doing private practice. So when I graduated with my master's degree, 2007, I went right into a school, and it was a special education school for out-of-district placements. And I learned a lot. And then I said, you know, let me go to the public school. And then I thought that's where, you know, I was meant to be. And it was fantastic. I learned a lot. But then in that time frame, I had gotten married and was starting a family. And I said, you know, I just always rolled like where I'm in control of my schedule. And that was a big turning point for me and my family dynamic. You have to do what works for you. And so for me at that point, it was like, there was a lot going on. I was getting prompt certified. I was doing EI on the side on top of the school. And I was like, okay, I think I can do this because I'm, you know, an EI in New Jersey. It's home based. So you're driving anyway to the houses. It's a 1099 position. So I started learning about taxes and write-offs and that component. And I said, wow, I could really make this work. And I was getting referrals because I was, when I did become prompt certified, which is a special technique, people were calling me. I was getting referrals a lot from colleagues, like who knew about me in the area. And so I started taking cases by myself. I went through the whole process, like you have to get an LLC, all that. And I started doing cases by myself and I would drive, charge a self-pay rate, provide them with the receipt, do the therapy, go to the next house. And what I started to notice over the summer was my cases privately were going like this. And then I took less and less EI. So it was like balancing out. And then I was like, okay, I could work for myself and make it financially work. And then I don't need to be in the school because I was having my first child and I wanted flexibility because I had no idea what that was going to look like or feel like.
I love all of those things. But one of the things is about just having a skill set, right? And having skill set that other people know about and they start referring you, you know, whatever it is, whether it's prompt or anything else. But I think it's so cool that you started to realize like, wait a minute, I have the certification and I have this knowledge now that I can use actually for my own practice, not just in the school or EI.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, because I was so far into this specialty, the school was no longer fulfilling me at my area, right? Because as you know, in a school, there's other things you're working on, like AAC, language. And I was like, this is what I'm good at. And this is how I can really help my clients. And so it was like feeding that part of me with like feeling fulfilled. And that's what kind of drove me to keep going with it.
Yeah. And I hear that all the time, right? People, again, do a certification program or they go to ASHA, they do anything and they get all excited about doing something in particular. And then they get back to their job and either they can't do it for XYZ reason, or they just, you know, it's so then it's underutilized, right? And then they start to be like, oh man, why did I even do that if I can't use it, right?
Yeah.
One of the things I thought was really cool was that you started to kind of realize that if you were able to see some of your own private clients, that then you were able to reduce your hours elsewhere. And I'm trying to encourage more of our listeners to kind of think through that. Is that something that you would encourage people to think about?
Yeah, especially if you do have like that specialty that can't be practiced in a school. Right. So if you love pediatric feeding therapy, a lot of schools don't have that as a treatment modality, right? Or it's surface level, right? It depends on your district. But I'm just saying that's what I found out as well is just like therapists want to get into feeding or like myofunctional. And you have to go where your heart is and know that you're not tied to like a hospital or a school. Private practice is where you will find that flexibility, whether you work for somebody who owns a private practice, because you're getting those types of clients. So even if you're not ready to own a private practice, just working for one is going to give you that empowerment and that flexibility to like be that therapist that you're like aspiring to be.
Yeah. Okay. So I totally hijacked you from your story, which I'm so sorry about. But we're going to go back to the part where you're about to have your first child. You're doing the prompt private pay cases on the side. You've got some EI clients and you've got the school.
Yeah. And then, so I was driving all around. And I figured, you know, in my day, I could maximize that because instead of driving around to five people, if I had an office, then I can see like 10 or 12, right? Because then I'm not driving 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And I was getting burnt out at that point, driving all around. So then just like connecting with other therapists, it turns out I subleased a room with other therapists. So I wasn't like the main holder on the lease, but I subleased a room. And so what that allowed me to do was test that water. See how I went in like kind of steps to kind of build? And that's like what worked for me, but like also managed my anxiety of being like, well, I'm going to have a clinic with no clients. Well, like going this way kind of kept me in check. And that's how I kind of went. And then I connected with my, who is now my co-owner of a business. We started referring to each other. And I was like, well, we're just like working with each other anyway. Let's connect. So we formed a collaborative LLC about 4 years ago, which is Brave Wings Therapy. So I co-owned that with another speech therapist, Naomi Sutton. And we are, I always joke, it's like a long-term marriage. Like, you got to talk every day. You got to trust your partner. You got to talk about things. And like, kind of, that's why it works, you know, because we're on the same page.
Yeah, totally. So I absolutely love that you're talking about this like step-by-step approach, because I think sometimes when people are just getting started, they see established practices like what yours looks like now. And they're like, oh my gosh, like I could never compete with that. Like, is there a place for me in this whole thing too? Right. But I think what you've reminded people is that like you started also with just a couple clients and you know, we'll talk about where you are now in a second, but like it didn't happen overnight.
No. And absolutely just thinking about, well, what is your goal? Right. And that could change over time. That's why I had to just sublease like one little room. Cause at that point I was like, I had very young children. I was having babies and just young kids, and like you're needed, and like just your priorities are different back then, right? Where like if I was having my first child now, would I be able to run this monstrosity? Like, probably not. So like, but now my kids are older, so there's a different kind of need, but I'm able to do things a little bit more flexible. I think also we talk about this all the time, but success is subjective. So you know, a lot of people hit, you know, go in my DMs and ask questions about private practices. And it's like, well, what is your goal? What is success for you? If success for you is I want 10 clients, that's your success. Whereas you might ask somebody else, well, my success, I know I made it when I have a clinic with 50 clients, right? And that can change over time. But it's just making like short-term goals is super important.
Yeah, so, yeah, just like we do for our clients. It's the same that we do for our clients, right? You can't go from one client to, you know, two clinics and 50 employees. There's a step-by-step goals in there. Then you started the practice. You started seeing clients. You were referring to the other person who then became your co-owner. What did those early years of your practice look like?
So we then decided to get an office outside of where we were. And we started then saying, okay, well, we have all these clients. And, you know, our clinical focus was also, we found we were referring out to occupational therapy. My partner specializes in feeding therapy and I do prompt. And we know you can't just work neck up. There's a whole body, sensory, postural stability, all that. And so we were like, we keep referring out for OT. Why don't we hire OT and go there? And then, you know, that's what we did. So we expanded to OT. And then we were hiring speech therapists, OTs, and it kind of, you know, started growing more. And, you know, and that was our goal together, was to make a practice that was specialized. So our specialties, you know, you're coming here for specialized feeding therapy or specialized motor speech intervention, and collaborative. So it's multiple disciplines in one area. So that child is being treated from a whole. And the third thing we did was start taking insurance, which made that accessible to our families in that area.
I love that. And I love that like three-pronged approach of like, hey, like we want to be different from other practices in the area, right? I think that that's one of the things that, you know, you can either be like a generalist practice that treats every, you know, type of, let's say, pediatric issue, or you can narrow. And I know that you're obviously very, you know, interested in prompt and motor speech and all that kind of other stuff. How would you say that that has changed like your marketing and like how you get clients?
So part of the expansion, and I know we're going to talk about hiring and all that, but part of that was bringing on other therapists who had other specialties. So whether we train within or we and provide them with the resources so they can become an ASC specialist, or they're coming to us with this specialty. And that's what happened. We found ourselves connecting and adding. And, you know, some of our therapists have experience with babies, and now we're able to do you know, intervention from birth, even if it's lactation support or, you know, oral functioning, getting them to breast or bottle feed better. And so we added that, did some trainings, like we kind of added, well, what was the need in our community? And we were getting calls, you know, for babies who can't feed. And I said, well, we can do this because we have all the tools. We just got to organize it. So a big part of that is like assessing the need in your community.
Yeah. And then that also relieves pressure on you as the business owner or any individual person in your practice to know all of the things.
Yeah, we don't do that.
That's really good. And I think, you know, that's one of the things a lot of people in our field, I think, struggle with is that pressure to feel like they have to be able to treat it all. And like every child that comes to their door. And so I love that you've taken that approach, not just for you, but just for your practice, right? I bet your employees love that.
They do. They're able to feel empowered and they do their CEUs and they're, you know, coined as our, you know, AAC specialists. And as an owner, I can't physically specialize in everything. So I have my little areas of specialty in what I do and with the clients that I service. But I'm able to say, hey, I know from a cursory level what this approach is. And now we have an employee who specializes in it. So I'm not going to see your child, but like my employee can because she's well-versed in this area. So it's like that like matching the client to the right therapist.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely perfect. And I think that families, you know, they want that. They want their child to be seen by the person who's going to be able to help them. So what does your private practice look like these days?
So right now we've expanded to 2 different sites. So we're in Andover and Fairfield. And we have expanded speech. We do feeding, occupational therapy, and I also have employed some BCBAs as well. So we offer multiple services and with a shared vision that we respect children, their strength-based approaches. We're very like, we want, as an owner, I want every kid walking through that door smiling, having fun at therapy, and leaving smiling. And that's like the culture that we have really worked hard to develop at Brave Wings and really embrace it is like a fun place to be. You're going to, you know, work on your therapy goals, but you're going to have a blast. And therapists are happy when they come to work. You're not greeted by like Miss Grumpy Pants. You know, we're all like amped up, like, whoops, cute shoes. Look at you. You know, come on, what are you going to do today? And we don't do pre-planning. So whatever the child wants to do that day, we're on their level. And so I'm not like, you need to work on this and do this activity. And that's really what we embrace there is just like fun at work.
That works for everybody, right? When you have happy friends, you have happy parents, you have happy people who work for you. And that really is about the culture that you as a business owner create. So listeners, what I want you to think about is like, what are some of your previous jobs that you have either loved or not loved? And really think about like, what was it about that culture that was either great or not great, maybe even toxic? Now that you have your own business, like you want to do things differently. Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode. So Jen, before we started recording, we talked a little bit about hiring and like how to attract people that fit the vision of your practice. Can you share a little bit more about like how you do that and maybe a little about your hiring process?
You know, building on what you said about like a toxic work environment, like I can tell you I've been there. I hope nobody has, you know, but everybody's kind of been like, well, my boss used to be like this and I'm not going to be like that. And that's like what we function on. Like my partner and I, like we're like, when I worked for this one, or I worked here and this happened, and all these horror stories. And we really worked hard to like have zero tolerance for that. And there's like just positivity. And so in terms of hiring and retention, another thing I like to say is what we have found helpful is building in leadership roles. So even just not having like a drastic change, like, wow, now you're a leader. You know, you were a therapist, now you're a senior. Like, so giving like all of our staff a little added leadership, like whether you are specializing in feeding therapy and now you're mentoring our new hire with her feeding cases, or you're really great at doing evaluations and doing write-ups. So now you're mentoring someone who's a new staff, or maybe our CF you're mentoring, right, with their writing. So we kind of split responsibilities so that everybody gets a taste of leadership. And if that's something that they're good at and they want to continue, we have opportunities for growth within our company, which helps with retention. We've hired a lot of our grad students that have come in and like just we've connected really well with, and then they stay for their CF, and then they got their C's, and now they're a staff therapist, and now we're building into them for leadership. So it's like that continuum and just finding the right people. So like we lead with our culture. This is what we're expecting when you walk through the door, and finding the right hire. I don't just post an ad and hire, like a whole interview process where we speak to you on the phone, check your references, then we'll do a clinical interview. And then we have you come in person, and you're going to stay with us for an hour and a half. And we're going to have you hang out with your department, hang out with me and my partner. What's your vibe? Why are you looking to work here? What do you like about our practice? What are you bringing to our practice? And most importantly, how do you interact with our clients so that we can see, you know, these qualities that we want to have in a new hire?
And my guess is that you learned that approach by not using that approach when you first started hiring. And
everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has been there. I've hired people in different methods. And I was like, I wish I would have seen this sooner, or, oh, they don't share our values. I wish I would have found that out sooner. So just shifting to that, taking your time with hiring.
Definitely. It's all about leading with those values, though. Like, I feel like, you know, some of the folks that I have known, like who are practice owners, and they keep complaining that they're not getting applicants, and they're not, nobody is hiring, and hiring is so hard, and all these other things. And then they show me the job ad, and it's just like boring, right? Or it's just like very basic, right? It's like they probably went on Indeed, they copied somebody else's boring ad and whatever, right? So I tell like the people in my programs all the time about like making sure that you are leading with those values and creating a job description that people get really excited to not just work there, but to be part of your mission for the clients and the families that you serve. And that's what makes the biggest difference in just attracting high quality candidates who would love to work with you versus people who just kind of see this as like a job or a stepping stone to get something better.
Yeah. And those people were not interested in, you know, hiring for our practice. And the big thing that we do is, you know, Instagram and social media, you're able to showcase, like you can follow us at Brave Wings Therapy. We do a lot of in-house training. I do a lot of like workshops, like we support your learning, and we put that on Instagram. So if you're looking to work for us, you see, like, we're down as a speech department probably like 5 times a week. We have like speech and OT collaboration sessions. We have professional development every week. We have speech meeting. We have staff meeting. We have mentoring sessions. We have that built into the schedule, and it allows for us to provide a high quality therapy. You know, I always say like quality over quantity. It's more important for me to provide 20 sessions of quality than trying to have this outstanding productivity number and just pumping out sessions as a practice. That's not what we're about. We want to help clients. That's why we're here.
Yeah. So like, you're just not like a regular private practice owner. You're like a cool private practice owner.
Yeah. Like having fun at work. Life is short. You shouldn't like come to work and be like upset. And if you are upset, I want to know about it. And I want to know, well, how can we make this work and what's not working? So as a practice owner, I try really hard to be really open, really understanding, and really changing. If something's not working and it's stressing out your therapist, well, how can we change it? How can we make it better? Maybe we do a checklist instead of a narrative or a progress summary, you know, or whatever it is, just being like flexible, changing, going with the flow.
Oh, I love all of that. My next question is about like, where are you getting clients and referrals from?
I hope people don't cringe at this, but like I've always been a big advocate for like not competing, right? It is not a competition. And people are saying, well, it is. You want to get clients. No, it's not. There's a million clients out there. You want to attract the right clients for your practice, right? We don't specialize in social skills. So if we get a call, I want to help that client. We're not the right match for you. We don't really work on, you know, social skills. But I know a practice that's 20 minutes away that does. Let me give you their number. So I make a really big point of knowing the other private practice owners in New Jersey. I even have a Facebook group called NJ Private Practice Owners, and we all talk and we all network. And I personally know a lot of them that I've met on Instagram, and I'm like, let's go to dinner. And we always ask each other questions like, oh, this happened. What do you do? Or I was thinking of this. Have you tried that? And we text each other all the time. And it's so important not to see your neighbors as competition, but rather as like a support network. And once you get into that space, you're going to be more successful as a private practice owner because it's not about competition. It's not about the money. It's about helping your community and helping these kids that need services.
Yeah, because there's so many like kids and adults stuck on wait lists going without therapy, and there are more than enough clients to go around. And just what you said, sometimes, you know, you might be really good at a certain kind of client, but you don't do the social skills. Maybe right now don't have any open after school hours, but like another practice does or whatever, right? So it could be things about your availability or insurance or whatever else. And you're absolutely right. Once you start collaborating with people and sending them clients, then they are like, oh, this person's really cool. I'm going to send her clients, because the whole competitive thing is part of that scarcity mindset. And that truly is the old way to be in private practice. And like, you still see that sometimes, but like for the most part, it's with like, I don't know if this is rude or not, but like older private practitioners who have been in this for a long time. And like, that's still the mentality of how they operate. The next generations are not like that. And it's so refreshing and wonderful, and it will help all of our practices succeed.
Absolutely. And like you just said, I might refer to them because they're open on Saturdays and we're not, or they take an insurance that I don't, or it's closer to the family's home than we are, like whatever the reason, like, you know, and that's good karma, right? Because then in turn, they send you their clients that they are not a match for or can't accommodate. And it's the same thing with doctors. Like we, as an owner, I have a set caseload. I can't physically treat 50 kids a week. It's important to me to have a smaller caseload. And once that's capped, but let's say I see 10 kids a week, the remainder of my time, you know, I'm going to that orthodontist and face to face and saying like, hey, we have a shared client. Can I come by? Can I chat with you about, you know, tongue space and, you know, lateralization of S and how we can help this client from your orthodontic perspective, you know, whatever it may be, or a picky eater with a pediatrician, like going there. And also solo practitioners, meeting that psychologist, you know, or that social worker. How can we complement each other's practices and send clients? So we've been really focusing a lot on that in the last year, and it's really like amped up our referrals as well.
And listeners, you know, sometimes people get worried about marketing. Like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how to market. Right. But like, listen to what Jen just said. She's just leading with helpfulness, right? She's like, hey, let's talk about this type of therapy approach, or this way that we help, you know, our shared type of kids that we both see. Like that comes from such a place of good and of education and all that kind of stuff that people, yes, you are marketing your practice, but in like kind of an indirect way that people completely connect the dots. It's not pushy. It's kind and it's helpful, and it's going to lead to way more referrals. And like, we're pretty good at that, right? We're pretty good at talking to people about the people we help and how we help them. So it doesn't feel unnatural, and it's a great way to get referrals and get more clients so that you can help more people.
Yeah. And just hopping on the phone, like give them a call. Hey, you have an orthodontist down the road? Call, speak to the owner, introduce yourself. Those days of mailing out brochures are gone, right? I used to do that. Spend so much money on like printed brochure. I will hear them do a mailing list. Nobody does that anymore. And Instagram. Instagram is a huge way to connect with people. You know, just thinking of marketing, we have this salad place that is absolutely phenomenal. And I use them for all of my called My Salad in Northern New Jersey. You can look them up. They're amazing. And they always do the nicest spread for us. And I just use them on Saturday, right? I'm doing a plug for them. And I always tag them. I'm like, hey, and we do a funny reel. And then they reshare our private practice to their clientele. So whoever eats a salad is following them. And then they're like, oh, Brave Wings. And same thing with us. You come to Brave Wings, you want a salad, go there. So like you can even expand outside of just like the medical dental field.
I love that too. Because again, now you're collaborating with local restaurants. And just as a total aside, I feel like half the time you go to events and like they have like two vegetarian sandwiches and then like turkey and ham. And I feel like, you know, the vegetarian sandwich, I'm not even a vegetarian, but when I do things like that, I would like a vegetarian sandwich, but then I feel guilty about it. But like, good for you for kind of knowing your audience and being like, no, like this is a really yummy salad place. And I'm sure my people will love salad.
Absolutely. And we do the same thing in the summer. We do, again, it's all about our clients. So we have a Sip and Swirl. They're like an ice cream truck. They pull up and we treat our clients to ice cream. And it's therapeutic because our AAC users are ordering their ice cream with their device. Our sensory kids are learning how to wait in a line, holding a fidget spinner or wearing a vest, like a weighted vest, like whatever their goals are. And then it's like a, so like even that Sip and Swirl, it benefits your practice. And then you connect with a local business who's going to put you out there, like you put them out there, you know, and they can gain clients from you as well. So I like that. And if you tie it into therapy, it's like a double win.
Yeah, it's a win all around. And I love your approaches to things too, Jen. Like I think that this is fantastic. So as we start to wrap up, what do you see as like the future of your practice? Like take us out, you know, like, I don't know, maybe a year or three or five or whatever. Where do you see your practice going?
And my partner and I were just laughing about this the other day, because when you sign like a bigger lease, it's like for, you know, 7 years. And we're always joking. We're like, we're going to be like the old biddies. You know, I'm going to be like in my little, like wheel me in, like, okay, Gareth, let's do some brand, you know? And we were like, why are we going to think that far? Like, oh my God, where were we? Like 7 years ago, Jenna, I was still doing like driving all around, probably. I don't even know. We're just subleasing. I have to do the math. But like, I was by myself 7 years ago. So it's like everything, like, I would love to just keep doing what I'm doing and having an impact, but I don't know in what capacity, you know, if we're going to get bigger or we're going to get small. Like, I don't know, but I know like I love what I'm doing and I'm making an impact and I'm meeting other private practice owners and really truly making a difference in our clients' lives, our family, you know, their families' lives, and also my colleagues and other professionals that I like interact with. I like love from now as an owner, like inspiring, training, mentoring, like that to me fills my bucket too, not just treatment. Like I love mentoring people for prompt or like, oh, you have a private practice. Oh, what do you have to do for this? And then I like share what I do. Like that's making an impact too.
And I'm going to totally butcher this quote, right? But like, what's that quote about like create a job for yourself that you never want to retire from, right?
Yeah.
It's something a little better than that, but you guys get the drift. But I love how you're talking about like, you know, the impact that you've made on your clients, you know, on your team and on the community. What about the impact on your family?
This is a good one. So, and I know work-life balance comes up a lot. And so does like being a mom. And there's a lot of guilt that comes with that. And like, I've connected with other like SLP moms on Instagram, but definitely like you got to find what works for you. Whether that is working that daytime or working, you know, just a couple sessions a week, like what works for you. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, working in private practice is going to give you that flexibility. And my employees who are moms as well, if they need to leave early one day to go see their child's winter concert, go just reschedule your clients or take your PTO time or like somebody will cover for you. Like you're not stuck. When I was at the hospital working 12-hour shifts, I was stuck because I couldn't just run out, you know, to see my kid at their Halloween parade and come back. It was like a whole process. Like it was more restrictive, right? So in private practice, you just have that flexibility and working the hours that you want to work. Yeah, we have to sacrifice a little. Like for me, I work two late nights because I know I have to service my after-school clients, but you know, we have other therapists who come in early and leave you know, at 4, or they spread their schedule across 5 days. Oh, I forgot to mention, we only do 4-day work weeks. We have a 3-day weekend. So like, I try to prevent like burnout as well. And our feedback from the staff is like, yeah, I love having Fridays off, or I love having Mondays off. And it gives them that extra day to do stuff, right? So we do have a lot of employees that are moms, and just working with them, or sometimes our leadership positions work less hours. Maybe they're only here 30 hours. Some people work 40, some work 36, some are part-time. Like, we have a whole like variety.
There's such joy in being able to go grocery shopping in the middle, like on a Monday or a Friday. Or, you know, go to the doctor. Like, I remember, you know, way back when I worked at the hospital, I neglected my health so much, right? I would never go to I'd skip the dentist. I went, you know, all those things. To be able to have a little time off and to have that flexibility, whether you're the owner or you know, working for somebody, that really is gold, because you can start to prioritize yourself. I think that's what I hear so much from people who feel stuck in schools and hospitals and everything else, is that they just can't prioritize themselves, right? As natural helping people, like, that tends to be our default. But over time, that's what leads to burnout. When you're exhausted, when you're working really long hours and you're not compensated for them, when you can't take sick days, when you like blah, 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 that's what leads to burnout.
It does. And just building on that, you know, having that flexibility in private practice has helped me to like fill my other buckets of like teaching. I was an adjunct for 5 years, you know, and I always teach prompt, or if I have to, you know, help hold a workshop, I can. Like, I have that flexibility to fill like my teaching bucket. When I was at the hospital, no, or at a school, look at today, right? I'm working from home. Today's my admin day, and I'm able to do this podcast with you. If I was in a, you know, other setting, it would be more difficult to do that. And my kids are at school, and now they're older, where they do go to a full day school. When they were younger, I needed that flexibility because I had like a 2-year-old who's like not in a full day program, you know, or whatever. So just like finding what works for you, so that as a person, you're happy and you're thriving, you know, and however that looks.
You're just a breath of fresh air. I just have to say, like, I think that probably our listeners are like, oh my gosh, like, this woman really has like figured out how to do something that's fantastic for herself, for her family, for, you know, community, for the employees that work for you. Like, what a home run situation that you've created. So I'm just so proud of you and excited for what you're doing, and can't wait to see where you go from here. Can you share any links, you know, where people can catch up with you?
Absolutely. So I think the easiest way to find me is on Instagram at Dr. Moore Speech, at Dr. Moore Speech. And then you can find me through like link in the bio. And I share like real stuff. Like, yeah, private practice is not all puppies and rainbows. Like, I will be the first to tell you it's hard work, but you have to balance it where the reward is high, right? Like, you're putting in the hours, putting in the blood, sweat, and tears. And then there's that return, and just staying on track with your mission and your vision. You know, I try to be zen, but that's not 100% of the time.
But I bet you it's like way more than before.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I am a better person now than I was like functioning off of fear and anxiety and all that. So now
and it's fumes. Fear, anxiety, and fumes. That's how I felt.
And that doesn't have to be like that. It shouldn't.
Well, again, thank you so much for sharing your journey, your story, what has worked for you, what hasn't worked for you. You know, the whole reason why I do this show, listeners, is to show that there's lots of different ways to have a private practice, and that no two private practices are alike. So, Jen, thank you again so much for coming in, for sharing your story, and for inspiring our audience to create private practices that work for them.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And it's a full circle moment, because like I mentioned, we started talking 7 years ago when I was like in that space of not knowing. So I appreciate your guidance back then. And this is where it has inspired me to be.
Okay. Wasn't that a fantastic interview? Dr. Jennifer Moore truly embodies the spirit of passion, dedication, and collaboration. It's so inspiring to see how her journey intertwines professional excellence with personal values. She's doing exactly what she loves to do and helping so many people in the process. She is proof that small steps can lead to big things, but you gotta get moving. If you've been listening to the show and haven't taken action yet, well, it's time, and we would love to support you. head on over to independentclinician.com to learn about how we work with private practitioners at every stage of business growth. Or if you're more of the DM type, send me a message on Instagram. I'm at Independent Clinician, and let's talk about what your private practice can look like and how my team can work with you to make sure that you're set up to start or grow the right way. As always, thank you for tuning in to the Private Practice Success Stories podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.